This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation Comics proudly presents DC Post-Crisis Management, a monthly miniseries exploring DC Comics crisis events from 1986 through today. Universes will die, continuities will reboot, minds will be bent, and eyes will cross. The end is only the beginning. Is the end. Or some such nonsense.
I was driving to Florida to see Jennifer Smith, one of the hosts of Geek and Sassy and Freak Out Drive-In and any number of thousands of other shows that she does on PTB and Pop. But she sent me a text message about the world like completely changing, shifting, everything being wrong. And what am I doing back in my house? This is really weird, especially since, I mean, the layout is still the same. This is definitely my house, but man, somebody broke in and redecorated everything. Nothing looks right. And, I mean, the whole place is way cleaner and way nicer furniture. It smells all flowery. There's candles everywhere. What is going on with my house? Why? Look, there are awards all over the wall. Okay, let me take a look here. Oh, it's a Webby for Jenny's points. What? Okay, a Webby and a Halfy? Seriously? Really? Nick? Greg? You know what? I'm not even mad. Not even mad. Not even going to be mad about that. Even though, you know, my show was on long before all that. Never got any real love there. But you know what? No. You guys go right ahead. That's cool. Whatever. Let me walk on and see what else is screwed up in this house. Hey, my comics room is still here. That's good. Let's get into this and see what's all in here. And okay, these look like DC books. That seems about right. But what is this? This is Batman Knight of Vengeance. That's not right. What is this down here? There's a Frankenstein book. Alright. A Project Superman. It doesn't look anything like Superman. He's all skinny and frail. What the hell? And what the fuck is a Canterbury Cricket? What? This is not right. Man. And how come the lights won't go any brighter in this house? This is really strange. Everything is pretty dark as it is, but I don't understand why everything... You know what? I'm going to start turning on every light in this house just to get it to where I can really see what's going on. Man, I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to have to do some research here. This could take a little while. I'll report back once I've completed this. Things have really gotten screwed up. I don't know if I'm in the same universe anymore.
Dirty Pop.
Yo.
E.T. Sick and tired of hearing all these people talk about what's the deal with this pop life and when is it gonna fade out? The thing you got to realize what we're doing is not a trend. We got the good melody.
Libby, get your ass back in this house. I'm not chasing you around this goddamn yard anymore. Ugh, can't believe as soon as I get home, I come in the door and you just fucking run out like a crazed beast and I got your ass around the yard. What the fuck am I? God damn this fucking cat. I'm gonna go read some comics. I'm gonna go calm down. Now what the fuck is this shit? What is... What is happening?
Jenny!
Me.
Hey, wait a minute. Who am I? What are you doing in my house?
What are you talking about? This is my house. Who are you?
You don't know. It's Russell. Sellers.
Who?
Sellers Points Podcast, DC Post Crisis Management. No? You're long time.
What are you talking about?
Jesus. I go on one road trip, I ask people about these DC events, and then all of a sudden the whole world has gone fucking insane. What is this? Like, at least you turn all your lights off whenever you leave the house, so I can at least give you props for that. And really impressive amount of comics in here, though none of them are mine. And why is your stuff all over my house?
Slapdick, what are you talking about? You are in my house. I am Jennifer Smith. Who the fuck are you? I'm calling the cops.
Oh, wait. Don't do that. Something has happened to the world. And I think that maybe this point, this spot here, could be part of it. And the thing is, you sent me a message. I have it right here on my phone. You told me to come find you when the Flashpoint event happened.
Flash?
Look, it's right here on my phone. Is that not you?
I mean, that's what it says, but I didn't send you that message.
You definitely sent me this, and I think I know what happened.
What?
Something in the universe is wrong. And I've been I couldn't.
Strange guys in my house. That's what's wrong.
Clearly. But I was trying to get through all of these DC events because they've left me a little disheveled. And somehow I must have tapped into something. It was the Whole and Forever and Final Crisis. That's what it was. When Nick Duke hit me over the head with that his favorite event ever, that Final Crisis Omnibus collection of his that I know he totally has, because there's no
the Nick Duke I know does not love Final Crisis. What are you talking about?
Oh, the world has gone mad, but I think you feel it too, don't you? Something's wrong here.
Well, I don't know. I got real high earlier, so I don't know.
I mean, come on, Jenny. I've been going through your comics collection here. Very impressive, by the way. But this is not right. Look at these titles. Batman Night of Vengeance, written by Brian Azzarello and drawn by Eduardo Rizzo. Great creative team. Killer. But Thomas Wayne is Batman? No.
Yeah. Thomas Wayne's always been Batman. What are you talking about?
Bruce Wayne is Batman.
No, Bruce is dead.
According to this story, but doesn't that just feel wrong? Like, that's not right. Something is not right here. He's not supposed to be Batman. Bruce is supposed to be Batman. Abin Sur is still the Green Lantern. Hal Jordan never became Green Lantern?
Hal who?
Oh, God. I mean, hearing you say that would make Ben Morse incredibly happy, but at the same time, no. Hal Jordan is supposed to be the Green Lantern, the greatest of the Green Lanterns. And, I mean, while this is a cool idea, Frankenstein and the Creatures of the Unknown having their own title, that's cool and everything, but that's not a book that exists. Emperor Aquaman? Really? Wonder Woman and the Furies? No way. No. None of this makes any sense, and I think that you realize that too, and I think that somewhere along the line, somewhere in the past, something changed. I don't know how it happened, but I think there might be something that can guide us to it. And you have this book here that I definitely recognize. This is the Flashpoint collection.
Oh, yeah. I love Flashpoint.
There we go. Jeff Johns and Andy Kubert. I think that man, what a crazy event this was. I was just reading this before this bright flash of light, and then all of a sudden I wake up and the world is this. It's freaking insane. I mean, you have a podcast called Jenny's Points, and you're like winning Webbies and Halfies. And
I hang my Halfie right here. You saw it, right?
Yes, I saw your Halfie.
Mm-hmm.
You must be so proud.
I am.
Bully.
My greatest prized possession.
Bully for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm going to have a talk with those guys. But that's beside the point. Let's get into Flashpoint. So,
All right. So
you've met Barry Allen.
Who?
Oh, God. He's the lead character, like right here in the opening pages of Flashpoint number one.
I was just humoring you earlier because you're creeping out, dude. So, all right, let's talk about this if it'll get you out of my fucking house. What are you babbling about?
Barry Allen was the Silver Age Flash, but at the beginning of this story, things have gone completely awry. Something has changed in his history. And like me, he seems to have been erased from it. Sure, he's just this normal CSI guy. Now he's working in Central City, working for the police department. And he wakes up and does not have any of his super speed like he used to.
Okay.
So, of course, you don't remember Barry.
No.
But it gets crazier. In his timeline, in the original timeline, his mom has been dead since he was 10 years old, murdered by his greatest enemy, the Reverse Flash. But here,
the Reverse Flash, right? Who's writing this?
Hey, you know what? If Canterbury Cricket can have his own title in this world, I think he can get on board with some Reverse Flash.
All right. Kind of a lazy name, but continue.
Okay, I'll give you that one. But I mean, we could just call him Professor Zoom.
Yeah, that sounds a little bit cooler.
Okay, well, there we go. That's also who he is. But anyway, Barry wakes up in this new alternate timeline, and his mom is alive. His dad,
well,
But it's tripped him out because his mom's been dead since he was 10. So here she is, no memory of any of that, and suddenly Barry like tries to access his speed powers and winds up falling face first down a flight of steps because he has none. But as this goes along, he's starting to find out the history of this world. And like all these comics here that you've got in front of me, we find out that, of course, Wonder Woman and Aquaman are at war with each other for some reason or another.
Right. Yeah, of course.
That's wrong. Thomas Wayne is Batman. There are no Robins. There's never been a Robin.
Mm-mm. Who? No. Oh, and, this is crazy, guys. In my house, and I'm high, and I don't know what is happening.
Well, as we go along, we're finding out all of this crazy stuff about the world. Barry makes the decision to seek out the one person to be able to help him. He's going to go find Batman. Because he thinks that Batman is still Bruce Wayne.
Thomas Wayne.
But as you can see here, if you'll flip with me right here to when Barry shows up in Wayne Manor, a disheveled Wayne Manor at that, because apparently Thomas does not give a single fuck about keeping up his house. And it's pretty dark. Pretty much like the rest of this world that we're in. I mean, what would I expect from a world with no Superman and no Flash? But he finds his way into the Batcave. Of course he does, because he remembers there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's confronted by Batman, who he calls right here, as you can see on the page, he calls him Bruce.
Yeah, he does.
And Thomas looks very surprised by this. Because Barry has figured it out. He has figured out through powers of deduction that this is Thomas Wayne, not Bruce. But as we move on to the second issue of it, he's been able to convince Thomas that this world is wrong. He's been able to talk him into giving him you know, the benefit of the doubt, which is all I'm asking for here. So what we're going to do is we're going to flip to this page here where Barry puts himself into an electric chair and douses himself with all the same chemicals that turned him into the Flash in the first place.
Jesus!
He gets hit by a lightning bolt, and it burns him to a crisp. What?
What?
Okay.
That looks cool, though.
I mean, it's a beautiful sequence from Andy
Kubert. Oh, beautiful. Gorgeous.
Andy Kubert is just a beast of an artist. But
amazing.
Okay, so we're still dealing with the fact that the world is just falling apart here. And it doesn't seem to be getting any better. Like, Cyborg is trying to put together... I mean, that's crazy. Cyborg is the biggest hero in America in this?
Well, yeah.
Jesus Christ, what is happening to this world? He's never even been in the Teen Titans, according to this.
And well, he's like the trusted guy for the president, right? He's like top level, top flight security of the world.
God, this is just... I'm still trying to wrap my head around how all of this is happening. But anyway, we get to issue 3, and Barry is still pretty messed up from all of this, from all that being burned and everything. Thomas is implying his doctor techniques and has him all bandaged up. He looks like a freaking mummy.
He looks like the Yeti.
Well, at least this world has some things that are the same.
You know the Yeti?
I do know the Yeti.
Yes. There we go.
See, we're making progress. Things are coming together.
All right. You're all right. I'm working in my house and shit. That's fine.
I promise I will clean this up.
All right. You better.
If nothing else, I will make amends here. But I think this has got to be the moment where this has all got to click for you, I think. Because Barry's memories are being overwritten by this world. So he has to act fast. He gets back up on the roof because he's convinced Thomas that they need to try again.
No. They're not going to by lightning again.
Yes. He's going to go up there and they're going to give it another shot. And as he's going to the chair, gets hit by another bolt.
Holy shit.
Boom. And it's like, it seemed frying him again, but here it is, Jenny. I need you to take a look at this panel very closely and see if anything's hitting you.
Oh, my gosh.
The eyes. Barry's eyes.
Oh, man.
Lit up.
Oh, I know, guy. This is Barry Allen.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. The Flash.
The Flash is back.
I remember.
Now we're here.
Oh, my God. Hi, Russell. Hi.
Jenny.
I remember. Yeah. What the hell?
What is happening in this world right now?
I mean, it's insane. I don't know.
Kudos on your decorating taste. You've made my house look very nice.
Well, my house, but you're welcome.
Okay, you're not fully back yet, but but we're making progress. Making progress through Flashpoint.
Oh my God, how badass is Barry Allen? He just got struck by lightning twice.
Twice. Superhero.
It's amazing.
This was really the moment that Barry Allen really clicked for me as a superhero. Like, he was brought back in Nick Duke's favorite event of all time, Final Crisis.
No.
But it wasn't quite done that well. In fact, it felt kind of ham-fisted, like it was just kind of forced in there. Because let's be honest, Grant Morrison's not that good at this. And then we get Flash Rebirth from Jeff Johns, and that was pretty good. Definitely a fun story, but still not putting Barry over in the same way that that Wally was for me. But I think it was in this moment whenever I see Barry for the hero he is, like powerless and still like desperately trying to get back to a place where he can really help people, even if it's going to cost him his own life. So that, for me, is like just the demo hero moment.
For sure. And then you have Thomas Wayne, like, sort of shepherding him and just sort of going along with it, which I think is interesting.
Yeah.
And, like, given how damaged he is.
He's a really interesting character. As I've been reading this, as we've been going through it, and, of course, I read that Night of Vengeance tie-in while I wait on you to get here. This story's messed up.
Yeah?
Like, his whole background is just so incredibly sad. He became Batman after the events in Crime Alley killed Bruce, but it's what happened to Martha Wayne that's like just beyond comprehension for me, because she's this world's Joker. And I mean, talk about being broken.
That's great though. I love that twist.
It is. It's a great twist, and kind of makes me sad that we have to erase all of this.
Right. Yeah.
But
we got to set things right though.
Yeah. This is all just so incredibly off. I mean, the world needs the Flash, and the world needs a Superman. And I found this, apparently you bought this Project Superman book, written by Scott Snyder, of all people. Mm-hmm. And it's so freaking weird. Apparently, in the history of this world, a rocket crash landed into Metropolis, like destroying about 12 blocks and killing like 35,000 people.
Jesus.
But they framed it, the government framed it as like some kind of attack on the U.S., but the truth is it was baby Kal-El landing Metropolis, his rocket like reaping untold destruction on the city, and them taking the little baby away and basically experimenting on him for his entire life. So for the last 30 some odd years, he's basically been a lab rat. And he's...
So this world, that world had never known Superman.
No, this world does not know who Superman is. He is a top secret experiment for the government, but he wasn't the only one. Apparently there were two others. Two other ships crashed, and one of them held what we would have known as Krypto.
Krypto, yeah.
And the other was Supergirl.
Okay.
Both have died. Krypto died shortly after they found him. Supergirl sometime later. But yeah, Kal-El survives, but he has no idea what the outside world is. He's pale. He's skinny. He's never seen the sun. So this is all just awful and wrong. And I'm at a loss here with Wonder Woman and Aquaman apparently going to war with each other after almost getting married.
Yeah, what's the deal with that?
That was nuts. Apparently there was going to be a marriage between Wonder Woman and Aquaman. It was going to unite the kingdoms of Themyscira and Atlantis, something that hadn't happened for like centuries. And it was kind of an arranged marriage thing at first. But there was that moment when I believe Arthur protected Wonder Woman in an assassination attempt. And they kind of really legit fell in love. Unfortunately, it looks like Aquaman's actual true love, Mera, was set up to look like an assassin who was trying to take out Wonder Woman. And Wonder Woman, like, brutally killed her. And that set Arthur off. So, you might say the wedding was off after that.
Pretty much.
And it has escalated into this world war. And, I mean, Themyscira and Atlantis going to war with each other. And the whole world's going to get cracked in half. They sank Europe.
So, I'm so, I remember, I'm starting to remember Barry now, But I also remember all the Aquaman and the Wonder Woman stuff. So where do we go? How do we fix it?
Well, there's really only one person who could possibly be responsible for messing up Barry Allen's whole life like this.
Don't tell me.
It's got to be Eobard Thawne, Professor Zoom.
Fucking Reverse Flash.
I mean, it's got to be, but just like all these other times, he likes to play with Barry from the outside, from the edges. Like, he moves so fast that even Barry with super speed can't seem to see him, can't seem to find him. But we know he's there. We've seen his specter. Like, he even whispered into Nora Allen's ear that he was glad to see her alive and well. And that was a real creep factor moment. But, I mean, that's Eobard for you. He's a super creep. And But you've all the while still got the world falling apart around them, and Barry being Barry is not just going to let that happen. I mean, he's got his super speed now. And he's still dealing with the idea that his memories are being overwritten by this current timeline, which is how he knows this is not a parallel world or some kind of like a mirror reality that Mirror Master might have used. If his memories are being overwritten, then this is going to be his only reality after a time. But if this war between Aquaman and Wonder Woman continues, there's not going to be a world left.
Right. Yeah.
So he wants to team up with Cyborg, the Shazam kids, which I got to admit, that whole Captain Thunder bit's pretty awesome.
I saw that earlier, and I don't know really that much about Shazam, but yeah, it looks awesome.
Yeah, I really do like the character of Shazam whenever he's done well. And of course, I remember him as Captain Marvel. Of course, we just call him Shazam in the modern age. But thanks, Marvel Comics, for that.
So the kids just pretty much call him Captain Thunder just as their sort of pet name?
Kind of. This is a really interesting way of all this coming together, because I'm used to there being a Shazam family of these kids, but they would each have their own costume. They would each like be their own superhero. In this story, they combine into one being called Captain Thunder, who has apparently gone toe-to-toe with Wonder Woman and had his face all cut up. Billy Batson is still the leader of all this, kind of the crux point, I guess, for all of them to combine into being this one superhero. And, I mean, he looks like the classic Shazam that I've always known. Just a bit angrier and more badass. So that I'm kind of digging on. And I get that Barry wants to, continue trying to save this world, because there's a strong possibility he may not be able to turn the clock back, because one of Barry's powers is the ability to travel time, but he's never been able to change it before. Well, that's something only the Reverse Flash can do. So Barry cooks up this idea with Cyborg that in order to win this, in order to maybe stand a chance taking down Aquaman and Wonder Woman, they're going to need Superman. And Superman's under, like, heavy military guard. But, like you were pointing out earlier, Cyborg is, like, the hero for the U.S. government. And he's an information and physical tank. He can hack into anything. So he can get all this info, learn everything about the project.
So, of course, Batman's going to, like, capitalize on that.
Oh, for sure. He's like, This is how we go get we're going to take a chance on what Barry is saying. He's saying this guy is important. So if we can break him out of this prison, it'll help us. And they try that. But you flip the page and you see what happens.
Superman takes off.
Yeah, they get him outside. But as soon as
he sees the sunlight,
he gets his first taste of sunlight. Sees these specialized guards coming after them, and decides, screw it,
fuck this, I'm out.
He's like, you guys have fun dealing with that. I'm gone.
Well, that's not very Superman-ish, is it?
I will admit that was not what not what I hoped would happen.
Mm-hmm.
But his heat doesn't kick in real fast.
Yeah, it did. But, you know, considering the way that he's grown up on this Earth and being taken part, being taken basically hostage by the government, you can't really blame him for one taste of freedom and then getting the shit out of there.
No, I can't. I can't say that I wouldn't have wanted to do the exact same thing. Like, no, this is not good.
But especially when you're like, when you look the way he looks in this comic book, I mean, it's pretty emaciated and like pale, and you know, my vague memories of another Superman, it doesn't look the same. So you would think that once he starts feeling that power, that he would just want to go on.
Yeah, he, I mean, Barry was taking a real chance here, because, I mean, you raise a good point. What would this Superman be like? I mean, but Barry also brings up that no matter where Kal-El is raised, no matter what circumstances are, deep down, he's still a good person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's true. I think that if you look at some of the other classic Superman tales where he wasn't raised by the Kents, Superman's son, for example, deep down, he's still that person who wants to do the right thing. And he still, like, will ultimately, hopefully, make that decision. And as we go forward into, like, the penultimate issue, in issue 4, we see that the world has decided that it's going to go to war. I mean, the U.S. government had told Cyborg last issue that they had given him time to try and put a group of superhumans together, as in there is no Justice League in this world, but Cyborg was trying to make one, I guess. And he just couldn't do it. He couldn't get people on board because these superhumans don't trust each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of seems like in this world, I mean, you know more about this than I do. You have a long history with it, but they just don't seem to like each other at all. And they certainly aren't going to work together.
Mm-mm.
And that seems to be the direction that they're headed. So, I mean, good effort on Cyborg's part. I really like how he's written here. He seems like the real stand out kind of leader and character that we had always hoped he would be in DC. So, unfortunate happening there that he didn't get a chance to really be that leader that we'd hoped he would be. But it doesn't seem to be stopping him.
Real quick, before we keep going, I've seen this character pop up as we've been going along, and tell me a little bit more about Element Woman.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I just flipped to this page where she's on. This was my first exposure to her. I'm not sure that she really existed before this, but she has a very similar power set to a character named Metamorpho that Barry thinks she is whenever she appears here in this sequence to save them. To save Cyborg, Batman, and the Flash from all these guards that were protecting or, like, imprisoning Superman. She's a bit nuts. As in,
I found her, like, what I've seen of her, I've sort of been identifying her as we've been going along, because she seems very sincere and enthusiastic and very eager to join a team. You know, she's very happy to be included with things, and I find that very endearing.
Yeah, she is. She's never really invited to join things.
Right.
And it seems that the reason for that, she is, as Batman puts it, as crazy as everybody in Arkham.
Bless her heart.
To me, though, I'm like you. I think I find her a little endearing. I find her, like, charming in a, like, incredibly socially awkward way.
Yeah.
But she gets some funny lines, and, I mean, right here she knocks out all these guards by transmuting herself into a gaseous form that just renders them unconscious. And then she offers everyone juice boxes.
Right, yeah. I just think that's adorable. And, like, she doesn't, like, really... Like, she helps them by hurting somebody else, but she doesn't really do it maliciously. It's just, like, as a means to an end to, like, be part of the group.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what? Cyborg saw that in her because he invited her.
Right.
So, you know, I'm beginning to see why Cyborg was the dude to be the standout, to be the world's Superman for the time being.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was looking for the good in people, and he saw it in Emily Sung, who is Element Woman's real name. So I'm kind of with you here. I'm digging her. I like the look too. The pink hair. One leg appears to be pink and flesh like. The other is a tree.
Tree? Yeah, I noticed that and was very confused. But maybe that was just like in her metamorphosis like state.
She's like a combination of Poison Ivy and Metamorpho, with I would say maybe a little bit of Swamp Thing in there too. Like there's all sorts of weirdness happening here. But you know what? As crazy and just wrong as this world feels, it did produce at least one really entertaining and fun thing here that I'm kind of hoping sticks around.
I hope so too.
It would be nice. But as we continue on here, we see that Barry's memories are like being overwritten at a higher rate now. And
I know how he feels.
Yes, everything's changing. Mm-hmm. But all your memories of the original world are coming back while Barry seem to be disappearing.
Right.
So we got to get to this crux point. And we had that scene where we now have a foursome, if you will, with Element Woman joining Batman, Flash, and Cyborg. And they're saying, you know what, we got to go another heavy hitter. We got to convince these Shazam kids. And they are kids. They're like little, you know, teenagers. I would say they're like maybe barely halfway through high school.
Oh, yeah.
But they're the most, like one of the most powerful superheroes on the planet whenever they combine together. So you got to have them for this fight. But like you, Billy doesn't remember the previous world. He's only ever known this one. But the second he touches Barry Allen to try and help him, and apparently in a way that he helped another character stabilize their own mind previously. I haven't read that, but such is life with these events. Sometimes they're going to tell you.
You can't read all the tie-ins.
Yeah, exactly that. Sometimes they're just going to tell you stuff that you're just going to have to nod and say, all right.
I'm familiar with that.
Yeah, like, that's good enough. I don't have to go and read a whole story of that. I'll just take your word for it.
Hashtag comics.
Yeah, because comics. Mm-hmm. That is why we are here. But as soon as Billy touches him, he gets a glimpse at Barry's world. And suddenly it realigns his perception, and he wants to help. And by the way, they see that Hal Jordan was apparently killed flying into enemy territory. You know what? And I don't understand Geoff Johns sometimes, because he wrote the greatest Green Lantern of all time, starring one Hal Jordan, and yet he would do this to him, too.
Well, I mean, perhaps... he's trying to just display the differentness of the world.
I mean, that's got to be it, because as anybody who actually really hangs out with Geoff Johns knows, he's a huge Green Lantern fan.
Well, of course.
And a huge
Hal. His close personal friends would know that.
Yes, he's a huge Hal Jordan fan, and anybody who would suggest otherwise is, well, just plain wrong. I mean, that's just silly. That is insane. Now, what was that?
Nothing.
Huh?
Just taking a sip of my drink here.
You got the hiccups?
Yep.
That's what
I'm
it
good
is.
Now.
Okay. We wouldn't want to upset anyone. Or,
of course not.
We don't want to mess with their heads and like, start saying phrases that. They might equate to other awful things.
Yeah.
But never. But anyway, we're moving along here, it kind of starts to seem like, because of the rate that his memories are fading, that Barry's starting to give up on the idea of being able to stop Eobard. And that he's just going to have to accept that maybe this is the world that it's, but Thomas is not having it. He is, Thomas Wayne is on a suicide mission, and honestly, he has been for this entire event, even before Barry showed up.
Well, I mean, you know, I would imagine the loss of a child is, and then knowing that in another world that child is alive, would really kind of fuck with your head and drive you to do things that you probably wouldn't ordinarily do.
Yeah, he's really like on board with this idea that, you know what, Barry was right. When he saw Barry get his flash powers, I think that cemented in his head, I can change, like, this world can be changed to be better, my son can be alive, and I can die. And he is, like, it's either that or this world ends anyway.
Yeah, I feel like Thomas Wayne, for me, as we've gone along the story, has been the point of view character and the most empathetic character. And I know it's, like, technically supposed to be Barry, but I just feel like this pull towards Thomas Wayne in a lot of ways.
He's definitely becoming more dad-like as we go on. He's that father who had no hope whatsoever. And now he sees his opportunity to protect his kid in a way that he failed to do all those years ago. So it's like, he'll be damned if somebody's just going to take that second chance from him. And he's he has found a reason to live, but he's found an even better reason to die. And that's what's so, I think, incredible about the whole exercise, is that he is both of these things at once. And he's also just this, oddly enough, despite being so dark, brooding, and having never worked with any of these heroes before, they all kind of make it sound like if he's not on board with helping Cyborg, if he's not going to get in on this fight, then nobody else sees any reason to.
And that's fair, I think.
Cyborg called it right, that he's the master tactician. So if you're going to have somebody helping you, it needs to be him.
It does.
It's always Batman, because Batman always wins.
He's the best.
But from there, they convince the Shazam kids to get on board. And now we're in the thick of the fight.
All right.
And what a battle scene it is. Andy Kubert really turned it on for this.
Amazing.
This art is just absolutely freaking gorgeous. Draws a hell of a battle sequence with all these superheroes finally clashing with one another. Getting into the middle of it between Aquaman and Wonder Woman. Only, of course, to have a twist there that apparently one of the sometimes villains, sometimes heroes, the Enchantress, flipping the script, and turns out she's been working for Wonder Woman this whole time as a spy amongst the superheroes, flips on them in the middle of the battle and uses a spell to separate the Shazam kids.
And murders Billy, right?
Yeah, Wonder Woman sees that the kids are separated. She's shocked that, you know, their leader is just this young boy, but it doesn't stop her from stabbing him in the back and killing him right there on the field, thus basically killing Captain Thunder.
Jeez, Wonder Woman sat.
This is a brutal, version of Wonder Woman that I am not used to. She is a, like you said, savage, take no prisoners.
She murdered a child.
Yeah, she just killed a kid with no thoughts to any of this. And I mean, I got to tell you, all of this looks incredibly hopeless. And then we flip the page and look who finally decided to show himself.
Oh, about fucking time.
There he is in all his yellow and red goodness. And now I don't mean Hulk Hogan.
Brother?
Nope. Reverse Flash is here to run wild on all of us. And
please tell me he stops to do a monologue about all of his intentions to Terry Allen in the middle of this huge fight.
How did you know?
Ah, because he's a villain.
Yes, that's exactly what he does. But this is where things really twist on us, Jenny.
Oh, no.
Eobard didn't do any of this.
What?
None of it. Eobard is an observer in all of this. Like he was as surprised as anyone whenever the world changed. But as it turns out, the real culprit here was Barry Allen himself.
What?
Barry, whenever he came back, he discovered who was really responsible for his mother's death, which is a mystery he's been trying to solve like his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And as it turns out, it was Eobard Thawne traveling back to the 25th century to murder Barry's mom because he felt like that's what needed to happen in order to set Barry on the path to being the Flash.
Right. So he wouldn't become the Reverse Flash unless there was already a Flash.
Precisely. Gotcha. He needed the Speed Force to exist, and without Barry Allen, it doesn't.
So he needed. So he could never kill Barry.
Yeah, he can't kill him. He can only mess with him.
Mess
with his life. He always had to leave him alive. And Barry, upon discovering this, like it stews in him. Like it really eats at him for like a year. And then on his mom's birthday, he gets it in his head that he's going to use the cosmic treadmill to run in time and somehow prevent this murder. Somehow prevent his mom from being killed by Eobard Thawne.
Okay.
He gets there and he takes all of the Speed Force into himself, rendering Eobard powerless.
Okay.
It prevents his mom from being killed and it pulls Eobard out of the timeline. It pulls him into the Speed Force itself. But by doing so, Barry changes his own path. Not only that, but as Eobard even puts it, he says, you were a bullet through the windshield of time. Like, you fractured everything and set everyone on vastly different paths as a result of this.
So Barry caused all of this.
This is all Barry Allen's fault.
And the Reverse Flash exists outside of time now.
He no longer needs Barry to create the Speed Force in order for him to exist because he even says he tried.
He's a paradox.
Exactly. He lives as a paradox. Exactly. He tried going to his timeline, but it doesn't exist anymore. So now.
Amazing.
So now this all turns out to be Barry's fault. And Eobard is finally here to say, there's nothing you can do. I can hurt you all day, but you can't kill me. You cannot harm me. I am finally free of it. And I could smother you in the womb or kill you right here. But this is the weakness of Eobard Thawne.
Mm-hmm.
His ego.
Yes.
He has to lord this over Barry. And why does every villain do this?
Because they're dumb. And that's part of their ego. And their when they're trying to get their final comeuppance on the hero, they just can't resist it.
It's Red Skull levels of dumb.
Real dumb.
Like, you've got Barry. You've got him dead to rights. You could end him. You could have ended him at the beginning of this and would have been like, huh, so who's up for cheeseburgers?
But it's not as sweet unless you explain to him why you're going to do this to him and how you've done this to him. Then you can do it to him. Unless somebody thwarts you.
And, yeah, shoves a sword through your back because in a war, don't stand still.
Don't. I mean, why? Just going to sit there and monologue and let somebody stab you through the fucking chest. And guess who that person is? Fucking Thomas Wayne.
That's right. Batman takes out the Reverse Flash. And as
beautiful. Beautiful. Wow. So nice.
What a panel that is, too.
Like, God, that is gorgeous.
It's that Thomas Wayne, like, best Batman moment.
Mm-hmm.
Of course we love that. How could you not?
Yeah. I mean, it's just
especially after that long-ass monologue from Thawne where you're like, somebody kill this guy already. Like, I don't care who. Somebody take him out. And, you know, Batman has heard enough of his shit. And thus he died. He is deed. Deed is deed. And, of course, now we have all the random, like, tie-in stuff from the tie-in comics coming in. So you've got the Resistance showing up, battling Enchantress. Cyborg is trying to protect the remaining Shazam kids along with Element Woman. So she's, you know, she's being a real hero here. She's putting herself between them and the danger.
She's great.
But then we get one of my favorite moments in the whole series when a loud boom is heard. The sound barrier has broken, and Barry looks up and just says, "Knew it." And here comes crashing down on top of Enchantress, I'm assuming killing her by crushing her to death, Superman. Superman has entered the battle and just says two words, "No more." And he flies into both Wonder Woman and Aquaman, knocking the shit out of both of them.
I love the way that's done, too, because it's like you had known about Superman, like you read about him like two issues ago, and then like you kind of forgot he was still out there, and then boom, huge hero moment. So beautifully done.
Yeah, it was that moment I've been waiting for this whole time, for Superman to just show up and just wreck shop.
Right.
And he does it wonderfully. But it wouldn't be an event if we didn't like ramp up some tension here, though, because Barry's running out of memories here. The overriding continues, and he's starting to forget why he was here in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
But Thomas is reaching out to him and trying to remind him, telling him, "Don't forget my son. Like, you can save him." And in his final moments, Thomas hands Barry a letter that he wrote to Bruce that he had every intention of Barry delivering to him.
Mm-hmm.
Barry reads it fast, and it's like he remembers what he was supposed to do. And he remembers this just as a like end of the world weapon that Atlantis had built to take out the Amazons goes off and is literally cracking the planet in half. The world is about to end.
So, I love the artwork here, too.
Isn't it beautiful? The rendering of how the world is now cracking in half right here. All this blue light is just reaching into the sky, and this is Barry's last chance. If he's going to save everybody, if he's going to stop all of this from happening, he's got to do it now. And his first attempt, though, and this is the mark of a good John book, and this is why I love him as a writer so much. He gets this just heartbreaking but heartfelt moment when Barry starts his run and he has to focus on his person or his lightning rod, if you will, to get him to where he's going when he's running that fast. But instead of going into the time stream at first, he runs to his mom's house in this world. And of course, she's kind of freaked out. She has never seen her son in a superhero outfit before.
She doesn't know what's going on.
But he explains everything to her, sits her down and tells her all this stuff. And it's kind of hard for her to take, but man, this moment whenever Barry tells her that, millions of people died because he went back in time and saved her. I mean, it's a lot to take in.
It is.
But then she tells him that she has to let, or that he has to let her go, that this has to happen and that he shouldn't worry about her because she's going to be with his dad now. And
that's rough. It's poor Barry.
Yeah, he's really like getting hit hard here from all sides, but it's in this moment that we're seeing him running so fast without the aid of the cosmic treadmill, by the way, pushing himself back into the time stream. And he finds himself running on the cosmic treadmill at that moment where he's going back in time.
Right. So he's totally looped himself at this point. And now he's trying to stop himself from going back in time.
And he's about to, he's getting on the cosmic treadmill. He is stopping his old self, but something really weird happens here. There's a giant explosion moment, but now both of us are seeing the same thing. I hope you're seeing this. There are three timelines.
Yeah. Where are these from?
I recognize one of them. This is the post-crisis, the post-crisis on Infinite Earths universe that I just left.
Right, yeah.
That led me here. I recognize that. Mm-hmm. And I think I recognize this Vertigo stuff over here from some alt time, a completely different public line. There's Wildstorm stuff here too. That's weird. And different versions of the heroes. I don't know what's happening here, but man, this is. And who's this character sitting in the back?
I don't know. Who is that?
I don't recall her, but anyway, Barry seems to be doing something important here.
Mm-hmm.
As we get past that, we're back to where we started.
Barry, he's just waking up again.
He's at his desk. But oh good, he still has super speed. And hey, Jenny, the world is shifting all around here. This is, oh man, it's shifting around us too. This is weird.
What's happening?
Jenny, we're back in your house in Florida.
Oh yeah, we are. My house, not your house.
This is totally your house.
It is totally my house.
It's much cleaner.
I had the maid come in a couple times a month.
That's got to be what it is. Oh, hey, kitty.
Don't sweet talk her. She likes to run outside.
Oh, so that's something consistent with the two worlds.
Yes, she's a cunt across all universes.
Well, unfortunately, all of your accolades and awards have disappeared.
Aw, damn it. I really like that happy award.
Wait a minute. There's a happy over there for, that's for talking pop.
Oh, well, I'll take it.
Okay, that I can get behind. I can totally accept that because Talkin' Pop is a great show.
Right, sure is.
You and Tim are great.
Yeah, we are.
Oh, good. You're everything seems to be roughly back to normal here.
Yeah, looks good. But what about Barry?
Barry's run to the Batcave. There's Bruce. Bruce is in full.
Bruce. Oh, he's getting a letter.
Barry is.
Oh, I'm going to cry.
Barry's telling him everything that happened, and he gave him the letter. And of course, he sees that it's from his dad, and even, Batman has trouble keeping his footing. This is making him dizzy.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That sequence of panels is amazing. Amazing.
Mm-hmm. And then whenever he gets to the end of the letter, love always your father, Thomas. And Bruce is just waterworks.
It's amazing.
I've never seen Batman cry. And
you're a hell of a messenger. That's what he says.
What a way to end the story. I mean, honestly, that started off in a way that could have gone very wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The world has been restored. Every light in your house is on.
Hell yeah.
What is wrong with you people? What am I doing?
Hey, it's Florida. There's cheap energy down here.
Is that what it is? Okay, man.
I've got a whole field of solar panels across the street.
Well, maybe North Florida is doing at least one thing right. Okay. I will concede that everything seems to be back to normal. What a weird happening that was.
That was fucking weird. Are we the only ones that remember? Us and Barry, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's going to be it. But I think as time goes on, our memories will probably just fade away.
Fade out.
I don't even remember any of that happening, but I think I figured out as we were going along what happened, like what threw us into this weird paradoxical world. That hole in forever, like, gave me an opportunity to try and fix all of these power issues that all these guys have had before. Like, Ben talked me out of punching a hole in the Hoover Dam, but I had to go back and figure out how to some way of fixing things. And in my desperation, I turned off everybody's power at the wrong time.
Oh.
My memories of this are coming back to me now. Yes, that's exactly what I did. I plunged the world, our worlds, into darkness, and that's why DC turned out the way it did.
Of course it's your and Ben's fault. That makes total sense to me.
I'll let you run with that one. I'm just going to let you have that one. But Jenny, you helped me fix the world.
Yay! We're heroes now.
Yes, we put the world back the way it's supposed to be all through the exploration of the 2011 DC Comics event Flashpoint. And what great writing that book had on it.
Beautiful. Love it.
Was this your first time actually reading the book?
I think so, although I feel like now I have like memories of like reading it before. I don't know. My brain is all scrambled. And
There was an animated movie adaptation. Did you see that?
I feel like I did see that.
I thought that was a pretty good adaptation of the book.
Right. From what I remember, it was.
Yeah, that was some good stuff. Pretty well cast. And it was the animated movie that kicked off a whole new animated universe for DC. And, you know, given the end of Flashpoint here, I feel like the future's pretty bright for DC Comics. You know,
I think so too.
I wasn't really expecting to do like yet another one of these things. I thought, you know, with the name Final Crisis, you would have thought that my journey would have been over. But I appreciate that message that the world was changing. I mean, you knew before I did.
Yeah, and I didn't even know that I knew. So,
the world is weird.
It's weird, man.
Comics. It's what we do. But, since we've gotten through this event and we seem to have set the world right again, I guess I should be on my way, and maybe this will be it. Maybe from here on, DC Comics is going to be that hope-filled, like, just beacon of the comics world that everybody wants it to be. Everything has been put back exactly the way it was.
I'm so relieved. I'm not even going to press charges on you for breaking into my house.
Oh, well, good news is when the world changed back over, turns out I didn't break in at all.
What?
You invited me here.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Remember the message?
I keep forgetting about that message.
Uh-huh. Like, you
must have been sober, Jenny, who sent that message.
That's okay. Well, that's probably true. No, drunk Jenny admires her happy award and then she chases her cat around the yard.
Ah, oh, damn it, it's fucking cat.
Well, with that, Jenny, thank you for helping me get through Flashpoint.
No problem.
And I'm feeling a lot better. I'm going to go get on the road. Maybe now I can finally go home. All right, I'm back in the car. Time to get back out on the road and maybe head home. But you know what? First, I think I'll check up and see how the DCU is doing post-Flashpoint. Let's pull up some articles here and see what... 5 years old. Okay, everything within the DCU is now called the New 52. All right, well, 52 books. All right, I guess I can get on board with that. Some odd choices in there. I don't think anybody's going to buy that Men of War book. Don't think anybody's going to be really into really half of this I mean, some of it looks like it could be interesting. Like, hey, Frankenstein, Agent of Shade, that by Jeff Lemire. Hey, that could be pretty good. I bet that one will be a long, long run. And Static Shock is back. Cool, man. I guarantee you that book is going to last, buddy. That book is going to make it. It's going to go the distance. But let's hang on. Well, this is kind of an interesting development for Superman. Work boots, jeans, a T-shirt. I don't hate it. It seems like on the surface, seems like an okay idea for a reapproach to his origin. And, you know, all right, okay. I can get on board with that. Let's flip over here. Hey, Geoff Johns on Aquaman. There we go. That is a winner. I defy you to not enjoy that. Let's flip a couple more pages here, see what else we got going on. Wait a minute. Why are the members of the Justice League looking a little more armored up? That's not necessary. What the hell, Flash? Your costume is like a million pieces. It should be one streamlined piece. What is this? That doesn't work. No, bad design. Superman is wearing armor. What the hell? Collars? Seriously, you put collars on everyone. This looks ridiculous. Who designed this? Oh, Jim Lee, come on, man. You are better than this. You are like the greatest artist in DC history, and this is what you've done. No. Does it get... Wait a minute. You wiped out so much DC history? What the... Wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me that the DCU fits within a 5-year timeline? That's not possible. Look at all that's happened. Batman's got like 5 freaking Robins. How do you fit that? Do they each get like a year of time? That doesn't work, man. That does not make sense. Let's flip over. Well, Green Lantern just seems to be continuing on and ignoring all of this, which is kind of odd considering Geoff Johns wrote both Flashpoint and Green Lantern. And oh, Dan DiDio, you son of a bitch. You did it. You actually did it. You finally got your way. You split up the marriage of Lois and Clark. I thought Flashpoint was supposed to set things in a better place. I thought this was supposed to leave us in a really great place going forward for the DCU. What have you done? Hang on a second. I'm getting a text. Casual geek. What the hell is this? Stephen Ferrari, get your ass up here. We need to talk. All right. Darkseid is coming. Oh, there's a lot going on here. There's more to this story. Stay tuned, folks. I'm headed up north. I gotta go see somebody about this coming supposed Darkseid war and a rebirth.
Consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 2 dozen podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on 2 great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content, offering tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceOfNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceOfNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceOfNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture.